And my friends, it's worth talking about. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 20, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7 in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. I'll talk about the napkin is still folded. We're going to concentrate on that after I get through a portion of the message. We're going to go back, and we're going to talk about this morning the napkin is still folded and what it means. So we'll be in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. Would you go with me to the Lord in prayer? Our Father and our God, as Jameson already prayed, as Jameson already thanked you, the Lord, for your presence being here today. God, I'm so honored to be a part of a church that's excited about worship, excited about singing praises to you, excited that we serve a risen Savior, the Lord, one that's not dead, one that is still not on a cross, one that's not left in a tomb somewhere, but one that rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And God, that's what I'm here to serve and worship this morning as a true and living Savior. And God, thank you for the worship time, the Lord, as we sung those songs talking about you are risen from the dead, God. You're alive and you're well. And God, thank you for the excitement in the air. Thank you for the enthusiasm, the motivation, the Lord, that we feel. Thank you for your spirit being here and moving. God, we pray that you bind up Satan and, Father, cast him as demons and workers out, the Lord, and let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our lives, the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary this morning. Fill me with the words that you desire me to say that we can bring the message. May you anoint the reading of your word today. May you anoint your message today, God. May it cut where it needs to cut. May it pierce where it needs to be pierced. May we be challenged in our life where we need to be challenged. That, God, when we leave here today, we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. God, that we can be renewed, refreshed, and revived, and energized, and excited about working in the ministry. God, bless the reading of your word. Anoint it this morning. God, we give you praise. We welcome you here in the house, the Lord. We welcome you today. May your spirit take over. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. The napkin is still folded in John 20, in verses 1 through 7. When we look at that, it says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciples, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Oh, listen, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and he seeth the linen clothes lie. And I'm going to key on verse 7, and I want you to mark it and remember it. It said, in the napkin, the face cloth that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped or folded neatly together in a place by itself. I want to come back and I want you to remember that. I've been in church all my life and been in the ministry for the last 10 years and stuff, and talked to Brother Leroy as well. Been in the ministry for 50 years, and God just spoke to my heart about verse 7 and talking about the napkin and the napkin still folding and symbolically what that means and things of that nature. And I'm going to share that with you a little bit later on. We're going to get into it. But I want you to know this morning that if you're taking notes, number one, the folded napkin says that he's not finished saving souls. He's not finished saving souls yet. The folded napkin says that. The Bible says that Jesus came into this world for one reason, and that was to seek and to save those that were lost. Jesus came into this world for that reason. John 3:17 says this. Says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Might be saved. Acts 4:12 says it this way. And Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among man whereby we must be saved. There's only one name, there's only one person, there's only one way to heaven. And in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus. And that's what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating the resurrection. Last week was Palm Sunday, and I explained all that Jesus went through. I explained that his first suffering come about from the betrayal of a best friend, from Judas. Jesus. And then he was sold out for 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus' suffering started then. And then we went into the mockery and how they beat him and how they plucked out his beard and how they plaited a crown of thorns and shoved it on his head, how they drove the nails through his hands and his feet, and how they pierced his side, and so forth and so on about the suffering he did. But I want to talk to you today. The suffering is over with, and Jesus is alive and well. The resurrection has taken place, my friends. He's alive and well. And in that verse, as it said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given unto a man whereby you must be saved. In the eyes of God, there are two kinds of people, my friends. Two kinds of folks that are here today. There are those that's already been saved and those who need to be saved. And Jesus stands in the gap waiting for both. Waiting for us all, my friends, standing there. Many people make the mistaken ideal that the good folks are already saved and bad folks can never be saved. But let me just tell you something. People not bad enough that they can't get saved and good enough that they don't need to be in church and be saved. Amen. So we all need the Lord. We all need Jesus. And he makes that clear in Romans 3:23, where he says, for all have sinned. A-L-L, that's all. That's good people, that's bad people, and everything in between. Amen. For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all are in need of a Savior. And thank God for Jesus, the merciful Savior, the sinless Son of God, that came to be the redemption for your sins and my sins. He took it all up on the cross, and it was nailed there. I said last week, you know, there's a song that says, does he still feel the nails every time that I fail? Every time that I fail, does he still feel the nails going through his hands and his feet? And I talked about when Jesus was going to that cross, my friends, and he was being scourged and he was being whipped with those cat and nine tails, and he felt every sting that was there. And every time that he was whooped, that stinging of that belt had my name on it. Had my name on it, but it didn't only have my name on it, it had yours on it too. And every time that he took the scourging, every time that the cat and nine tails and that whip wrapped around him and the flesh was pulled off of him, it had your name on it and my name on it. When you think about that, it gives you a different perspective in the Savior that we serve. A risen Savior that's alive and well. One that took all the punishment upon himself for you and me so that we wouldn't have to go through that, my friend. One that made a way of escape to give us eternal life. He did that for you and he did it for me. Oh, not only that, but number two, if you're taking notes, the folded napkin, my friend, it symbolizes he is not finished reclaiming his people that have left him. He's not finished reclaiming the backsliders. A few days before Christ died, he took his disciples aside and told them what was about to happen, my friends. He said, I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be crucified. And I'm going to do all this for you. He was preparing them for what was coming. He was telling them about that, my friends. The folded napkin says he's not finished reclaiming us yet, multiplying us and fashioning us and getting us into his image. Then he looked at his disciples and said, all of you are going to desert me. All of you are going to fall away from me. He looked at his disciples and said, every one of you, when the heat is turned up, my friends, you're going to desert me. You're going to deny me. Apostle Peter rose up in his typical style and said, not me, Lord. Not me. I'm going to follow you until you die, Lord. I'm going to be there by your side. Though all shall be offended, yet will I never be offended. In other words, Lord, I don't know about the rest of the bones, but I'm going to follow you all my life, is what he was saying. Peter, he was boasting about, Lord, I'm gonna protect you. Can't you just see Jesus right now? Can't you see Jesus when Peter's saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Lord, I'm going to go there with you. I'm going to be there with you, Lord, through thick and thin. And when the time gets rough and the things are heated up and the heat is on in the kitchen, Lord, I'm going to be there. I'm going to follow you to the death. Oh, yeah, when them Roman soldiers come, Lord, and they come to take you away, I'm going to stand up there and I'm going to be there. Lord, when they take you down Golgotha, down the Via Dolorosa, and you're going and you're carrying your cross all the way down and you're being scourged tomorrow, God, I'm going to be there. When they hang you on the cross and nail you, God, I'm going to be there. Can you just imagine Jesus sitting there looking at Peter and shaking his head and saying, no, I don't think so. By this time tomorrow, you'll deny me three times. By this time tomorrow, Peter, the cock's going to crow and you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me three times. Oh, Peter railed up a bunch of courage. My friend, when the Roman soldiers started coming, in Peter's heart he welled up and he had the courage enough to pull out a sword and whack off one of the ears of the Roman soldiers that were coming to get Jesus. Oh, then what did Jesus do? Had compassion on him, reached down, picked up that ear, and supernaturally attached it back to that Roman soldier's head. Can you imagine what that Roman soldier was thinking at that time? Can you imagine what he was thinking at that time? Coming to get Jesus, take him away to be crucified. Here was Peter slashed the ear off his head. Here was Jesus picked back up his ear and reattached it to his head. Can you imagine what was going through that Roman soldier's mind? Brother, if I was that Roman soldier, I'd have turned around, looked at him and said, hey, fellas, I came with you, but I'm going with him. I'm leaving. I'm going with him. Amen. Hey, I might have came here with you to get this Jesus, but I done seen enough to know there's something about this man. There's something about him. I'm going to be leaving, and I'm going to go with this Jesus, my friends. And you can imagine what was going through his mind as the stories unfold and the miracle that happened. Not only that, but they arrested Jesus, and they subjected him to sheer torture. And while this was happening, Peter's courage turned to butter. He melted, my friends. It turned to butter. One of the ladies approached him and says, I know you. You were with him. You're one of the disciples. What did Peter do? He denied that and said, oh, no, it wasn't me. And another came up and said the same. And again, he denied Christ again. Yet another said, you are with him. You're a Galilean. You're one of the disciples. And he denied Christ the third time and threw a few cuss words in there too. And denied him and said, I don't know that blankly blank man. Leave me alone. And about that time, the rooster immediately crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus. And he looked off into a distance. And he saw Jesus standing. And their eyes met. And what he saw in Jesus, he saw a person. Randy, stand up. They were there, and Peter had denied it. And Peter, stand right there. Peter had denied it. And off at a distance, you can see Jesus glancing, and him and Peter's eyes met. And just like Randy standing there, you know, when I looked at Jesus, you're Jesus. Eyes are met. He did a good job. He's upset. You know, and all Peter can do and look at Jesus is see the sorrow and the hurt and the shame and the agony that he put Christ through. But Jesus still loved him enough that he went to the cross. Jesus still loved him enough that he fastened his eyes on him and gave him another chance. We'll see in a minute. Gave him another chance. He went to the cross. And you can imagine when their eyes met, the sadness and the sorrow in the eyes of Jesus and his broken heart. My friend, it says Peter went out and pounded on a rock and said, oh God, how could I have done this? How can you ever forgive me? In 3 days, Peter lived in shame and guilt and agony of the suffering, realizing he had denied the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mark gives the account of the Easter story in Mark chapter 16. In verse 1 and following, it says this. It said, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome have brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. In verse 2 said, and very early in the morning of the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. For it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were frightened. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. As he said unto you. You know, as I'm going to pick up on verse 7 in a minute back in John 20. But did you see what verse 7 said in Matthew 16? It said, but go your way, tell his disciples and tell who? and tell Peter that he go up before you into Galilee, that you shall see him as he said unto you. Can't you see in your mind's eyes these ladies running up to the disciples to tell them the good news? He's alive. He's alive. He's not here. He is risen from the dead as he said he would be. He's alive. Can't you see Peter in the corner of the room shocked, saying, what? The resurrection? Almost encouraged that once again, and it plagued in his mind the pitiful denial of Christ that he just did. These women said, he is alive. He is risen. And oh yeah, in verse 7, Peter, in verse 7, it said, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he go up before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said. You know what? Peter, I know you're shocked, and I know you're upset, and I know you denied the Lord, and I know you're suffering, and I know you're in agony, and I know you're feeling that guilt and all that. But Peter, I think, might have had a Babdacostal fit right there when the ladies come up to him and said, hey, Peter, you understand me. Yeah, listen. He called you by name. He called you by name, Peter, and said, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to say. This is where you need to go. Understand, Jesus knows you by name. Understand, he knows every hair that is on your head. That's how much he cares about you. That's how much he is intimate with you and about you. It didn't matter what Peter had done. It didn't matter that Peter had denied the Lord 3 times. But God, why did he call him out? Why did he tell the ladies to run, go tell the disciples and Peter? It wasn't to shame him. It was to show him that he was forgiven for what he'd done and that God still loved him and that there is a work that's still to be done. As I said, my friends, you can't be bad enough that God don't love you, that he didn't die for you. You can't be good enough that you don't need the Lord. And you see, Peter was in this. He mentioned him. He mentioned his name. My friends, why did Jesus want to see Peter? Was it to rebuke him? No, he wanted to restore him. He wanted to restore him. Oh, Jesus came to restore us, my friends, to restore us back to him. Peter and Jesus coming together. Peter and Jesus, can you see that? When this lady told him to go see Jesus, go ahead of him and meet him at Galilee. Can you see Jesus was standing over there? And here was Peter. The ladies had told him, you need to go. You need to go into Galilee. And as you get there, Jesus said he's going to be waiting for you. Can you imagine that time when Jesus and Peter seen each other? They took off and said, whoa!
I knew you was big enough to handle it. Yeah.
Can you imagine taking off and coming out there and said, Jesus, stand back out there. Can you see that? Coming and said, he's alive. He's in Galilee like he said he was. There's Jesus. Yeah. Woo! There's Jesus. Jesus loves me. That's the same thing he's doing with you, my friends. He's got his arms open wide. He's got his arms open wide. Oh, you might have had the experience like Peter did. You might have denied him a couple times. You might have denied him 3 or 4 times. But understand, he's waiting for you like he was waiting for Peter at the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is waiting for you as well. He's waiting for you here, my friends. Can you imagine the excitement that Peter had? Can you imagine that excitement? Oh, no, Jesus wasn't there to condemn him. Oh, he was there to restore him. Oh, listen to me. What imagine that scene that took place of Jesus and Peter meeting eyes and eyes. What a beautiful picture that was. Oh, listen, you're here today. You know where you stand with Jesus. You see, the real question is, not am I going to drink anymore. Not am I going to cuss anymore. Not am I going to fight no more. That's not the real question. The real question is, do you love Jesus? Because when Peter met Jesus, Jesus looked at Peter and said, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? If you love me, go preach my word. Peter, do you love me? If you love me, Peter, go teach my word. Peter, do you love me? If you love me, go do this. And see, that's what Jesus is saying today. Do you love me? Oh, do you love me? I stand here, my arms open wide for you to receive you in. I'm not here to rebuke you about cussing and drinking and whatever else. I'm here to tell you Jesus loves you and says, come to me. Oh, you laboring and heavy laden, and I give you rest. Come to me. Do you love him today? Do you love Jesus? That's what Jesus asked Peter. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I love me. Love you, then go teach the word. That's it, do you love me? When you look back at John 20 and verse 7, I want you to look back there with me again. And I told you, remember verse 7, and I want you to highlight it and remember it and underline it. It said, in the napkin, the face cloth that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. The napkin placed over the face of Jesus was not thrown aside like the grave clothes. The Bible takes an entire verse to tell us the napkin was neatly folded and placed at the head of that old stony coffin. You see, to understand the significance of the folded napkin, to understand the significance of what it is, you got to understand a little bit about Hebrew tradition and a little bit about Jewish boys and their responsibility. You see, back then in the Hebrew tradition and the Jewish boys' responsibility, you had a master and you had the servant. And the master had a way that he wanted everything done. And at the table time, at supper time, when the master sat down to eat, the servant, the little Jewish boy, the servant would come and would place the plate down and put the dessert bowls and the cup and place the silverware and the plasticware neatly on the table exactly the way that the master had wanted it. Put it all there and arranged it in a way that only the servant would know what the master was wanting. So he set the table. And when he set the table, the Jewish boy would go off at a distance and be looking at the master in an area where he can see. And when the master sat down to eat and that table was prepared and everything was set exactly like it was, the Jewish boy at a distance would keep an eye on the master. And if the master was through with the table and the spread, then he would take and he would grab the napkin that was folded. And he would take and wipe his fingertips off. He would take and wipe his mouth and tape and wipe his beard off. And then he would take that napkin and he would crumble it up. And he would throw it on the plate. And he would get up and leave. And that indicated to the Jewish boy, that indicated to the servant that he was finished. He was done. The food was good. It was done. But if the servant seen the master and he was at the table and the servant seen the master get up and back his seat out and take his napkin and neatly fold it and put it back beside the plate and take his napkin and put it there beside the plate and walk away, the servant knew that he was not to touch the table. Because it sent a message to the servant that I'm not done yet. It's not finished. I'm coming back. Y'all a bunch of dead Baptists. Did you hear what I said? It meant to the Jewish boy that I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. It means to the Christian brothers and sisters in here, I just set a table for you. I just explained all that it meant in the Hebrew tradition. It says, I'm not finished yet. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm not finished. I'm coming back. So the Jewish boy wouldn't dare touch that. My friend, the empty grave with the face cloth folded up away from the linen by the head where my Jesus laid, symbolized to Peter and John that ran in that it's not finished. It's not over. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And how his heart was pricked, how it was pricked. Oh, my friends, pricked. Not only that, but I heard of a story. I heard of a story that there's this little boy that did something very naughty. And he did something naughty. And in their house by the telephone, there was a dry erase board sitting beside the telephone. And they kept all their phone messages on there, and they communicated as a family. They were going in all kinds of directions on that board. And that boy had done something very naughty. And he wrote on the board, "Dear Mommy, if you forgive me, erase this message." And the boy set that up by where the phones were. And it says, "Dear Mommy, if you forgive me, Mom, if you forgive me, erase that message." And the little boy went on up to his room, and he went up and he did some things, and about a half an hour had passed by, and our little boy still worried about the naughty things he had done to his mom and to his family. He was worried about his mom not forgiving him. So he took that white board and that dry erase board, and he took and he wrote on there, "Dear Mommy, if you forgive me, erase this board." And the little boy came down about a half an hour later, and he looked at that. And to the boy's surprise and much joy, the board had been erased. The board had been erased. Nothing on it. You know, Jesus does the same thing for you and me. He had a cross. And on that cross, he took the sins of the world on there. He took the sins of you and me upon that. And you know what? Instead of Jesus taking our sins and rubbing them in, instead of him pointing it out and rubbing them all in, Jesus didn't point them out. And Jesus didn't rub them in. Instead of the blood of Jesus, he rubbed them out. He rubbed them out. That sin that was black and dark in your life, Jesus took that sin and turned them white as snow. He rubbed them out. He rubbed them out just as that mom forgave that son and wiped out those sins. Just as the servant knew the master, that when the master was done and finished with his meal, he would crumble up the napkin and throw it down to let the servant know, "I'm finished." But when he wasn't finished, my friend, he took time to fold that napkin back up and place it to the side of the plate, to let that servant know, "I'm not done, I'm coming back." Amen. Folks, let me tell you something. The folded napkin is still folded today. Amen. It's still folded today. And it symbolizes Jesus is not done. He's coming back. He's still saving souls. He's still reclaiming the backsliders. He's still on the throne, my friends, and he's in this room today. He's here with us today, my friend, and he's wanting to rub out your sin in your life. Just as that napkin symbolizes, it symbolizes, my friend, Jesus is coming back. And my friend, when he comes back this time, He's coming back victorious to reign. He's coming back victorious to reign. He's coming back this time. He's coming back this time. Not as no whooping boy. He's coming back King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. He's coming back. He ain't going to be wearing no crown of thorns. He's going to be wearing a crown of jewels, my friend, because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, listen to me. If you're here today, you know where you stand with Jesus. I don't, but you do. My friend, if there's sin in your life, let me tell you something. You can bring it to the cross. Jesus won't rub it in. He'll rub it out. With the blood of Jesus, he'll wash you and make you white as snow. Oh, listen to me. Oh, you need to come today. I don't know where you stand, as I said. You might be here and never made Jesus Lord of your life. My friend, you need to today. He tells us in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He tells us in Romans 5:8, but God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But my friends, he didn't stay in that grave very long. 3 days later, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And that's the reason we celebrate today. Listen, you might be here looking for a church home. I don't know. I'd love to be a pastor of this church. I'd love to be your family of God. Maybe you need to come and gather at the altar and pray about something, rejoicing with the Lord, or you want me to pray with you. I don't know. But this is your time. Do business with the Lord. Remember, the napkin is still folded.